This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along. It's the latest edition of Betting Weekly Game Bet Match with me, your host, Nigel Seeley, over in Miami, and our senior ATP Tour handicapper, Sean Calvert, in Lee on Sea in England, brought to you in association with Bet Rivers. Sean, good afternoon to you. How are you, mate? How's your day? You've been out with Lagan all day.
Yeah, football in extreme icy cold wind in Canvey Island, followed by a basketball tournament over in Hawkwell. And I've just got back, and in between, I've managed to have a look at a few matches that we've got lined up for Monday. But yeah, it's been a day of sporting mediocrity for Lagan, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Well, it's a father and son bonding Sunday for us. You know, well, I haven't had the hotbed of British basketball, Lakewell. I haven't had that.
Hawkwell. I've been sitting on. Let's get it right. Hawkwell.
Hawkwell. Sorry to any residents from Hawkwell who are watching this or listening to this. I've been out with the boy. Now, I've left my 19-year-old son, who's in Miami, on spring break on the beach. And I've told him that when I come back, if my deck chair is still empty, I'll be a very disappointed father. So the chances are it'll still be empty. But his eyes are popping.
I'm
out
not saying anything. I'm saying absolutely nothing. I'm not sort of persuavant with young Harry's ability to talk to the ladies of Miami. So I couldn't help you with that, I'm afraid.
I've said as long as they have a rather attractive mother, you're fine to talk. But he's on that beach there. We just had a swim in the ocean. His eyes are popping out of his head. It's unbelievable. But anyway,
I've not had the pleasure. I've been to Miami once, but it was a long, long time ago, and I don't think it was during spring break or anything. So I'm not as familiar with this terrain as you are.
Well, this is the second time I've been there. The last time I came was very different for this time I come. The last time I was spending this day, I was here exactly the same time last year. I was spending the day around the shopping malls trying to find a replacement phone after some scallywag stole my phone from a bar. Anyway,
I remember that now, yeah.
Very, very different now. I've got my minder with me, so I'm all good. But the one thing I would say, I mean, we had two horrendous days of weather when we landed Friday. We landed, you know, I've mentioned before, I hate the I hate aeroplanes. They've done a lot of traveling, but I hate the aeroplanes landing. I hate thunder and lightning. We're landing thunderbolts, tornado warnings. I thought, what on earth are we doing coming here?
It's all right. This day and age, they don't really have to do anything. It's all computer guided, isn't it? I think it'd be fine. Well, that sort of thing doesn't bother me. I never ever think about that. I don't know why.
When you're looking out the window and seeing thunderbolts coming and the lightning,
even if it's like major turbulence, I'm not bothered by that. I'm bothered by a lot of things, by the way. But
I know that.
Is one thing that doesn't bother me. Same with dentists. I'm not bothered about that either.
Well, being struck by lightning on an aeroplane coming through thunder in tornado warnings.
That's not going to happen.
It bothers me.
It's not going to happen. Anyway,
yesterday, when we came Friday night, the rain, I've never seen rain like it. It was absolutely horrendous. Yesterday, the rain was obviously bad until about 5 o'clock and we walked back. So it was lovely. But now we're set fine. I mean, the conditions today, beautiful weather conditions. It should be okay now for the rest of the tournament. Tomorrow's a bit cloudy, a little bit overcast, but the sun is
windy.
Shining.
Now
Yeah, a bit windy. So I was going to say, what do you make of the conditions? I mean, I'm going to the tennis tomorrow. Tonight we're going to the basketball. We'll come on to that in a little while. But I haven't actually been there yet. So we've got 2 days at the tennis over the next 3 days. But I haven't really looked at the conditions, right? Because we've been stuck in a hotel room for 2 days. So what's it been like? What's the court speed? What are we looking at?
It looks pretty similar to last year. A few of the players have said that the practice courts are a lot quicker than the match courts, which I find a little bit strange. I can kind of understand the main court perhaps being different, but you would have thought, I mean, you know the terrain better than I do. The practice courts and the actual match courts, they must be pretty close together, mustn't they? Geographically.
The practice courts are right by the outside courts.
What I thought. I, for some reason, a couple of players have said that, I think Van Asch was one, I think Medvedev was another one that said that the practice courts were a lot quicker than the actual match courts, but As far as I can see, it looks pretty similar to last year. The stats I've got, after 92 matches, including qualies, it's pretty similar to last year. 82% holds, 73% first serve points won. So it looks to me, you can hit winners on this court. It certainly isn't slow. There's an argument that it's perhaps a fraction slower than last year, maybe. But I think it's pretty much a decent paced court. You can hit winners on it. It's not a slow court by any means.
Yeah, there's a whole host of women's matches as well. A whole host of markets available on BetRivers on all these matches for tomorrow. We can look at discussing the men's draw, though, here for the third round action on Monday. I'm recording this on Sunday afternoon over here in Miami and across in the USA and across in the UK as well. This is Sunday afternoon record. So there's only four matches at the time of recording that we know that are going to be played for tomorrow on round three. We don't know the actual order of play yet, but we do know the order of play starts at 11 o'clock Eastern time. And the weather conditions, as Sean said there, a little bit overcast tomorrow, a lot of wind around over the next couple of days, which may affect a few players. Let's start off with the first match we're going to speak about. It's Alexander Zverev, who a lot of people are actually talking up. I mean, a lot of people have commented on the YouTube channel about a play, he could be a player to go well. He's playing quite well at the moment, but he's under the radar a little bit. Got to the last quarterfinals in Indian Wells, where he got beat by Carlos Alcaraz. He played well in the first round here. He beat Felix Auger-Aliassime. And he's up against Christopher Eubanks, who, how he beat Dan Evans, I do not know. Dan Evans had that match. What did he have? Four match points. Eubanks found a way to win in a tiebreak in round two here at Miami yesterday. Incredible performance. But Dan Evans was diabolical. Before you break down that match, give me the betting. Alexander Zverev is -835, a very heavy favourite. If you're new to betting, what that means is $835 will win you $100. So you can see what a heavy favourite he is. Eubanks is +600. He's very popular everywhere he goes in America. The handicap here is 3.5. Zverev is a very heavy favourite on that 3.5, -195. Eubank is +3.5 or +145. And the total here is 22.5 with over at -110. The head-to-head, if it's anything to go by, was on clay in Geneva last year, where Zverev won very easy, 6-2, 6-3. But I interrupted you there, Sean. You was going to talk about that Evans performance yesterday. What on earth was he going on there?
Well, it's not the first time we've seen that from Dan Evans, is it? It's probably not even the 10th or the 20th. You know, he does struggle sometimes to close out matches, does Dan Evans. And it's burglary, really, from Eubanks to win that match. He won 15 points fewer than Evans in the match. And basically, Evans handed it to him, didn't he? Eubanks didn't really win that match. It was just a case of Evans failing to take a match that was his for the taking, which we have seen, as I've said numerous times, from Dan Evans. But, I mean, as far as Eubanks is concerned, his main problem is the fact that he doesn't break serve enough, he doesn't win enough return points. His return game really isn't, it's not up to scratch, really. It's not befitting of a player that's seeded as high as he is. Obviously, he did really well here last year. That's the one thing in his favour, Eubanks, the fact that he does go well. He clearly enjoys the conditions. It's quick. It suits his game. He obviously feels comfortable here. If you look at his Miami record, it's pretty decent. A service points won, a return points won, total of 100. 86% holds of serve, 75% first serve points won. Now, it's not dissimilar to Zverev's record here. The Miami records they're sometimes to be taken with a bit of a pinch of salt, because prior to last year, it was a lot slower than it is now. But for the records, Zverev's stats in Miami aren't that much better. 87% holds of serve, that's just 1% better. 76% first serve points won, that's 1% better. And a service points won and return points won, total of 103, it's 3 points better. So if you're just going on what they've done in Miami, you wouldn't completely count Eubanks out of doing something here. He does have the sort of game that, if he's playing well, he has got the sort of weapons to disrupt the top players. He's shown it before against the likes of Tsitsipas and even Medvedev. But the problem with both these guys is they're, well, certainly with Eubanks, but the return points won is not, it's not good enough from either player so far in their careers in Miami. 32% return points won only from Eubanks. That's kind of standard for him. But only 34% Zverev. So he's not returned well in this tournament either. For me, Zverev would prefer a higher bouncing court than this. He often complains about low bounces. That's one of his major bugbears. The other bugbear that he has, if you remember, he said last week that he called himself the worst wind player on tour if you remember last week, and he was complaining about the wind in Indian Wells. It was going to be windy when this match is played. That's another sort of plus point for Eubanks. I can't see Eubanks winning it or anything like that, but the fact that they both hold serve an awful lot here, they both win an awful lot of first serve points. Well, if Eubanks does serve well, you've got to be looking at the over games either in the match or in the first set. So for me, over 10.5 games in the first set, which was a plus 165 chance for Bet Rivers when I looked at it earlier, I think that's probably my lean in this one. The fact that they both serve well and don't return that well here anyway points to that.
Over 10.5, set number 1, plus 165 with Bet Rivers. 32 different markets available, and there will be more tomorrow when this match starts. We don't know the start time yet, but the replay will be there at 11 o'clock. And if you want to follow myself, I'll be at the tennis tomorrow, and you'll be able to follow me on our Instagram account, at Because We Win. Make sure you follow that. And also on our Twitter account, at Because We Win as well. So we'll be across all of the socials tomorrow. I'll be courtside giving you the in-play and also giving you some snippets of information that I find there exclusively on our Instagram page. Okay, move on to the next match. And it's the Carlos Alcaraz, the champion in Indian Wells, a tournament favourite here, looking to do the Sunshine Double. He didn't show any signs of dropping in his first round match against Kabash Baena. He's on an 8-match winning run. He's 11-1 on hard courts this year. We sort of questioned whether he was at his best that we showed at Wimbledon. He certainly is playing very well, and he's capitalising on the fact that Novak Djokovic isn't around, and the win against Sinner was a statement win in Indian Wells. He plays an opponent in Monfils, who we've said on this show many times before, raises his match against the big players, and there's no big player in the world against that other than Alcaraz. This should be a real good match tomorrow. Hopefully, it'll be on while I'm there. Looking at the head-to-head is 1-0 to Alcaraz. That was in Indian Wells in 2022. He won 7-5, 6-1. The odds, Carlos Alcaraz, the heavy favourite. Talking of heavy favourites, another heavy favourite, minus 1,000. So $1,000 will win you 100 if you want to be brave. Monfils plus 650. The spread here was 5.5. Alcaraz plus 5.5. Sorry, minus 5.5 is plus 110. Monfils plus 5.5. The Frenchman is minus 141. And the total here is 20.5 with over minus 106. Now, I'm looking at these matches, betting, Sean, and when you sent the bets through, and I jot them down a little bit of paper. And I thought, you know, if I was going to have a bet here, I might lean towards over 20.5 because Monfils might keep it competitive, especially in set one.
Yeah, similar thinking from my side, really. I agree with what you just said there. I think this is the sort of match that Monfils is going to relish, particularly at this stage of his career. I mean, how many of these sort of matches has he got left in him at this stage of his career, 37 years of age? And he's been playing well enough lately to make it, certainly to make it interesting, at least for a while. I think a lot will depend on fitness. Another big factor will be, when is this match played? You know, if it's a night match, I wouldn't be quite so keen on Monfils' chances. If it's a day match, I feel like he's got a shot if he plays aggressively. I think that the thing that interests me about Carlos Alcaraz, as far as opening sets are concerned, this is kind of where I'm going with this one. If we look at his record in opening sets versus top 50 opposition on hard courts, very rarely does he win them in 9 games or fewer. In his last 16 opening sets on hard courts against top 50 opposition, he's only won in 9 games or fewer twice out of those 16 opening sets. And both of those were last week at Indian Wells, where we know he plays, you know, his best stuff, certainly arguably his best hardcore stuff. It suits, you know, the conditions there suit him very well. Does Miami suit him quite as well? Not for me. A bit slicker, a bit lower bouncing. Yeah, he can still play here, but I don't think it suits him quite as well as the conditions at Indian Wells. Scheduling key here. I think the night match would put me off siding with Monfils, but if it's a day match and he plays aggressively, because sometimes with Monfils, you just want him to use the undoubted skill that he's got, that the talent this guy's got has always been, you know, beyond question. But the level he showed Monfils at Indian Wells, where he beat Hercash, it should have been comfortably, should have beat him in straight sets actually, but he still beat him all ends up really, and he should have beaten Casper Ruud as well, but he failed a little bit on the physical side of things after a tough match. Fatigue counted against him there. But for me, over 9.5 games in set one is plus money with Bet Rivers, plus 104. I've just said that Alcaraz very rarely wins his opening sets in 9 games or fewer against top 50 opposition. So plus money on that would be the way I'd be going if I was betting in this one.
Yeah, I do like that. I think this first set will be tight. I think Monfils will want to entertain the crowd. I think then
you will.
The second set. I can see Alcaraz winning in straight sets, but I was leaning towards 20 and a half because I thought the first set could be quite competitive. The second set probably be more one-sided. But the scheduling is crucial here. So make sure you check the BetRivers website out for the timing of this match. Or if not, obviously, like I said, you can follow us on the Instagram and I'll be there giving you the updates and the matches I'll be seeing. So please give us a follow on the Instagram account. It's we need some followers on there. We're not going to get as many followers. Good stuff on there. Travels and I want to get some more followers on there. So hopefully give us a follow on that and we'll keep you abreast some in-play betting. Also, BetRivers have got a fantastic offer on the Sunshine Double in Indian Wells and just last week in Indian Wells and here in Miami. It's a 25% parlay profit boost. If you have three selections or more, you can get up to 25% profit parlay boost. Check the BetRivers website for full details. And obviously, that's every day. So not a heavy favourites. It might be a good day for parlays. So check the profit boost with BetRivers. Also with BetRivers, you can bet live and watch live. So if you're not lucky enough to be in Miami or you're at work, you can have a bet and watch the game on your tablet or your mobile device, whichever one you want to choose to do. Next match, interesting again. Hubert Hurkacz, one of the players that we highlighted here who could do well this week. He's up against... this is an interesting match because this is the guy who made us the most money last year, Hurkacz at minus 162, against the guy who lost us the most money, Sebastian Korda, plus 130. The spread here is 1.5, minus 103 for Korda. He's receiving the start, minus 125 for Hurkacz. The total, no surprise, with Hurkacz matches is 23.5. Over is minus 108 and under is minus 118. Very interesting to see where you go here, Sean, given the two players' records for us last year. And these are two players who aren't any strangers to each other. Four times they've met and the head-to-head is 3-1 to Hurkacz. He won in Paris in 2023 in two sets to one. He won in Shanghai 2023, straight sets. And they played an epic in the Australian Open last year, which Korda came through in five. So there has been a lot of matches involved, a lot of games involved in their matches. Over 23.5 is the line. But interesting to see this one because it's our big winner, Hurkacz, against our big fade in Korda.
Yeah, I mean, I must have got Korda wrong more than anybody else in the last 12 months or so. I mean, I'm not prepared to accept responsibility for a lot of this. I mean, Korda... it's just so wildly inconsistent, isn't he? With his fitness, we never know whether he's fit or not. Sometimes just mentally, he just checks out too easily. And other times he's great. You think when watching him at his best, you think this is a guy that should be winning Masters Series, should be going deep in slams. The mental side of it is it makes him hard to bet on. Plus, you never know whether he's fit or not. If you look at the head-to-head, the favourites won all four meetings, by the way, so that the layers have got this one spot on so far. It's quite overwhelmingly in favor of Hurkacz in terms of the service points won and return points won totals. 105.5 for him against 94.5 for Korda. So a decent advantage. And much of that has just been the first serve. You know, Hurkacz has held serve 91% of the time against Korda. Korda's only held his own deal 79% of the time. So a big sort of 12% gap there. In favour of Hurkacz. And Hurkacz has also been better on second serve by 4%. So the head-to-head has been a good one for Hurkacz. Oftentimes, Korda finds it not that appealing, having a lot of power coming against him. Maybe a reason why Hurkacz, as well as the first serve, that Korda hasn't fared that well generally in this matchup. Interestingly, 7 of the 12 sets they've contested have ended 6-3. Including every single one of the opening sets they've played. So they haven't played too many tie breaks. If you look at the last 12 months at main level on outdoor hard against all opposition, it's just a slender lead for Hurkacz, 105 to 104 in terms of the service points won and return points won totals. Now, they both got very, very good records in Miami. Hurkacz, 82% win rate and a service points won and return points won total of 105. Korda, 78% win rate and 107. So two players that both enjoy the conditions here in Miami. And Hurkacz has played 0.41 tiebreaks per set in Miami. And that includes when Miami was slower. And since it got quicker, so we're just talking last year and the first match of this year, he's played 6 tiebreak sets out of 8. So this is not an easy match to try and bet on. The bet I've put in here is, well, the lean I put in here is over 2.5 sets. I feel like this is going to be a competitive encounter. I can't see either guy winning this comfortably. If I was going on the money line, I would probably take Hercash on the basis that he has got such a great record on the head-to-head stats. But as far as props are concerned, over 2.5 sets for me, plus 123 Bet Rivers. But knowing my record on Korda, it's just a lean. But there again, my record on Hercash is very good. So
yeah,
one of those two.
Well,
things
I'm intrigued
right.
by the match. I'm intrigued by the match because I think we've given so much confidence in the past towards both of these players, and one of them has always over delivered, in my opinion. Hercash shouldn't be winning the tournaments he does. I don't think with his return to serve. I think he's so serve dominant, and I think he's an overachiever. And I don't think there's a bigger underachiever in Sebastian Korda in the men's game. So it's a match that you could look at now. And if Korda gets it right, he could be starting this match at -$2 against the likes of Hercash in a year's time. That's how talented he is. And we haven't seen the best of him. So I'm quite intrigued to see how this goes. Obviously, again, heads across to the Bet Rivers. They have 30 different bets available on those props. Sean mentioned their one prop that he liked over 2.5 sets in a match, but there's 30 different markets available on this match between two of our very interesting characters on this show over the last couple of years, Korda and Mr. Hercash. Our final match tomorrow is an interesting one for me because I've bet one of these players to win the tournament. I couldn't resist the 250-1 against Francisco Cerundolo. I had to have a bit of that. He's an outsider up against the Russian Karin Khachanov, who is a player that can either be hit or miss. He can be brilliant or absolutely abysmal. There's no in between with Khachanov. He either makes the winners or they're always the unforced errors. Khachanov, the Russian, is -420. Cerundolo is +310. He's got a very good record in Miami, Cerundolo. Big price that for me. The spread here, very interested in this spread on Cerundolo. +4.5, -148. You can get giving up 4.5 for Khachanov is -114. And the total here is pitched at 21.5 with over -122. He's holding a bit of pizza money for me, Cerundolo here. He's going to overcome a very one-sided head-to-head record because Khachanov leads 2-0, including a very easy win here last year where Khachanov won 6-3, 6-2 in the quarterfinals. So he's got to overcome that, Cerundolo. But he's played quite well on the clay swing. He likes it in Miami. You know, has he got a chance at the price?
He's got a chance. I don't know if it's a great one, but he's certainly got a chance. The main chance that he's got is that both of these guys have been inconsistent of late. You know, Khachanov was beaten by Saboth Wild last week in Indian Wells, although that result doesn't look that bad now that Saboth Wild's taken down Taylor Fritz. Of course, we backed Saboth Wild in Santiago, didn't we? And he on the outrights, and he was terrible, lost a appalling match to Artur Fee. Since then, he's been great, of course.
We're calling it right. I mean, that happens, doesn't it? I mean, you can bet any sport.
Yeah,
you can bet a horse.
Yeah.
You bet a horse to win a horse race and you called it right, doesn't win and you're into the next four races. You can bet a golfer 1 week and you're in. But the fact that we're in the right direction is always a positive for me. So it's going to come. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, I'm just saying that you know, there's always a trend in outrights, isn't there? You always back a guy a week too early or a week too late, and it's, you know, high variance stuff. So not too worried about that. If we look at the stats of these guys, last 12 months at main level on outdoor hard, you can kind of see why Khachanov is as short a price as he is. 67% win rate and a service points won and return points won total at 104. He's also got a service hold and break total of 104. Cerundolo, some way behind, 50% win rate and a service points won and return points won total at 98. And his hold and break total is 100. So he's got quite a bit to find on the last 12 months on this surface. He's also got a bit to find on the head-to-head. Khachanov, 107. Cerundolo, 93 in terms of service points won and return points won totals across the two matches that they've contested. The main difference being the bigger, more effective first serve of, well, not just first serve, the serve of Khachanov. He's held serve 12% more often than Cerundolo. And if this match is going to be played in quick conditions, and a night match would be interesting, actually. If it's going to be quick conditions, i.e. day, you would favour Khachanov. But a night match, you know, the South Americans do get an awful lot of support here, as you know yourself. It's almost like a home tournament for them, isn't it? So that can certainly help him. And as does his Miami record. He's got a better record in Miami than Kachanov has. 82% win rate here, Cerundolo, when his service points won and return points won total of 106, as against Kachanov, 50% win rate and 103. So he's got a better record here, Cerundolo, than Kachanov. But you could certainly argue that several of those matches were played when it was in slower conditions. But Cerundolo obviously likes playing here, you know, and that's a big thing for a lot of players. Kasper Ruud was on about yesterday. He was saying what a disgrace the tournament is. You know, we've got to get changed on these plastic chairs and the towels. We don't have any towels and it's cold water. And he was saying what a disgrace the tournament is and all this sort of stuff. Cerundolo is coming here enjoying. He loves the conditions, loves the support. The bet I'm interested in here, it's a bit of a punt, but I was leaning towards Kachanov winning it by 2 sets to 1 at plus 260 with Bet Rivers. I feel like Cerundolo, at his best, can certainly cause Kachanov problems, but I'm not so sure he's gonna win it, unfortunately, as far as you're concerned. But that's the way I'm going with this one.
No, it's just a price bet. I thought 250-1 was a big price with no Djokovic in the tournament. Alcaraz obviously trying to make history by winning the Sunshine Double, which isn't easy to do. I just thought we might get a shot finalist. I still think the tournament's wide open. I still think someone might go through. You know, it's one of those bets that just, you know, it could happen. Or it could, you know, better pizza money, you never know. We'll see how we go. But I'll be there cheering him on. Don't you worry about that. He's got my support.
You and the rest of Buenos Aires and the Argentinian contingent.
Yeah, so we'll be cheering him on. The CDs are in the house. So Cerundolo's going to have some very, very heavy support. And hopefully, young Harry's met some Latinos on the beach and we can get them to come and cheer him on as well. But we'll have to see.
Do you think that's likely?
No, absolutely no chance. But you can live in hope.
You
can live in hope. Sean, it's been a blast as usual. Remember, there are a few ways to follow us on the Betting Weekly. Because we win, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Betting Weekly Studios, to keep across all this fabulous content. Myself and Sean will be doing another podcast and another show probably on Tuesday morning before we head again to the tennis on Wednesday. I said earlier, you can follow us on our socials at Because We Win on our Instagram and our Twitter. The Instagram page will be full of the action tomorrow from courtside in Miami. I'll give you some in-play. If there are any snippets or bits of information that I find, I'll let you know on there. And also, last year I was there, and on the Instagram page, I gave Kvitova to win the tournament when I watched her practice. It was 100-1 win the women's games. So remember, there's a women's action as well. So head to the Bet Rivers website, a huge amount of women's stuff as well. And that parlay boost, up to 25% on a parlay women's and matches tomorrow on Monday. And the final way you can follow us is by subscribing to Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on your downloading Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on your preferred podcast provider on the podcast form as well. That's it. That's it for the week. New week starts. Hopefully we cash some tickets on Monday. So Sean, no official pick, just for a few leans there and a bit of breakdown analysis.
Yeah, no official picks today, and there's nothing that stands out as exceptional value now.
So I am off now to the basketball. I'm going to watch the Miami Heat play the Cavaliers.
Do you know who the Cavaliers are yet?
I've got no idea where they're from. No idea.
Somebody tell Nigel in the comments section who the Cavaliers are. I don't know, actually.
I don't know.
Find out if you want.
Find out for me. I've got no idea where the Cavaliers are from. And then we go to the tennis the following day, and then we're going to see another basketball match. Miami Heat are playing the Golden State Warriors. I do know that one because that's
the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I should have got that. Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, it is them. They're playing Miami Heat. Yeah, it's them. Cleveland.
Yeah, and we're going to see the Golden State Warriors because my son is wild about Steph Curry.
Yeah, Lagan is as well. I don't know why. He's never seen him play. But yeah. There you go.
I might pick him up some merch. All you've got to do is send me $149 and it's done.
And send you the money for a courier because the post won't deliver it.
and then back at the tennis. So 2 days at the tennis, 2 days at the basketball, back, and we'll be back on Tuesday. So follow across all those adventures. Cleveland Cavaliers, come on the Cavs. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, Sean, and we'll be back again on Tuesday. Have a good day, and let's cash some tickets.